So a little bit about Justin before we get into it. He was brought up in the Seattle area. He's been a writer. Do you want to say hi?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
He's been a writer, actor, comedy performer, and collaborating artist with a bunch of groups across NYC, the Bay Area, and Seattle. He's currently doing his joint MFA in theater and creative writing stage play here at UBC. And today we'll be chatting about mostly about his Fringe show, which is coming up at the beginning of September, called Balls.
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 That's it.
Balls.
And with that, there's a bit of a listener advisory, just that there'll be some
sexual content, possibly.
Balls, yeah.
Oh,
maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
You never
just
know.
Just in case. Just in case you don't want to hear
people.
That. All right, so first off, I think we're going to hear a little bit from Justin, and then we'll go to a commercial break and come back and chat.
And this is something, Justin, you read at Locution last
nope.
year. Oh, this is something new.
No, I mixed it up on you. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, actually,
this is live. You can't do that. I'm just kidding.
So to introduce it a little bit is I just thought I would try something, which is sort of roughly the... It has the opening of the piece will have kind of a, theatrical opening, and then it'll start into the monologue. So this is sort of where I'm at with it right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Here we go.
Take it away.
Balls.
I waited until I was, shall we say, advanced in age before I finally made the leap back to my Master's of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. And to me, that degree has always sounded a little bit more oxymoronic. Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. Sort of like a master in the fine art of making shit up. I mean, really. We're making shit up. I'm not necessarily going to lie to you or tell you the whole truth. I'm not even going to tell you a half truth. It might be 100% true, followed by a 30% true, followed by a 68% or so. I mean, that's what storytelling is all about, right? Unlike someone who's getting a PhD in science, I may or may not provide accurate evidence to an assertion. And that shall be your mystery to figure out. So what I say or posit will not be scientifically researched, annotated, credited, referenced in a bibliography that is forthcoming in some kind of epilogue addendum. Okay, great. Let's start with Brazil, shall we? We just have to talk about Brazil. I mean, seriously. Back in July, you may remember, or perhaps you were on a desert island in the middle of the Bering Straits trading kisses with a freaking penguin, for God's sakes. I'm sorry, that was uncalled for. Pardon me. Anyway, Brazil hosted the World Cup this year, which, as you may know, is a championship series of football, or soccer, as we call it here. Okay, the World Cup has been hosted in Brazil since 1950. So back in July, Brazil played Germany in the semifinals, right? Brazil lost to Germany 7-1. It was insane. At one point, it was like the seniors or the varsity team, or Christ, what do you call it here, the grade 12 soccer team, came out against the grade 6s and were like, Mueller, pass it to Klosar. Klosar, pass it to Gota. Gota, pass it to Schweinsteiger. Now you shoot it, Schweinsteiger. Okay, no, pass it to Klosar. No, you shoot it. No, I don't want to. I already scored. Oh, no, you shoot it. And then the other side, Brazil, was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The last time Brazil imploded to that degree, to that colossal-sized epic of a collapse, Canada was 53 years old. Electricity was a novelty, a thing turned corpses into Frankensteins. The Great Depression was over a decade away. World War II wasn't even a concept. The men who would do the fighting for that were mere infants, if beings at all. Women had just won the right to vote in the States, but didn't have 100% suffrage in Canada. All of that, 1920, that was when Uruguay beat Brazil 6-0, or as we say over here, 6-0. Brazil hadn't even lost a game on their soil since 1975. And if you watch the game, the television shots of the Brazilian crowd were incredible. It was as if the country had broken off South America and fallen directly into the Atlantic, like when Magellan found Cortez on the Straits of Ponce de Leon and slaughtered all the Incas. And that last sentence? Pure, nonsensical, creative writing. I wonder what the percentage of the audience just heard the word Magellan and blanked. The mind went, uh-oh, a name I don't know, perhaps vaguely from historical times, and I should know, but I don't. So I'm just going to plaster a smug smile as if I know what this guy is talking about. Okay, yes, so smug smile. Note here that this is how I would react. The second group of folks in the audience who heard the Magellan sentence just stopped all thoughts immediately in their tracks and were like, oh, now what the hell was that? Cortez and Magellan were completely on different gigs. I mean, Cortez dealt with the Aztecs and Magellan was just an explorer, and he might have had the southern part of Brazil or whatever, but Ponce de Leon was in Cuba and Florida. What is this guy doing? And the rest of you are like, I don't know what is happening with any of this. Do you think I can check my phone? Would that be okay? Would anyone notice if I check my phone? So, clearly, I would have been in reaction group A, this Mr. Smug Smile. I'm going to pretend I know what this dude is talking about in front of us right now, with a slightly winky, smuggy nod. But then now, I'm going to feign interest and throw a bit of the old, okay, dude, where are you going with this one? So, forgive me for that digression. So, balls. In 1975, when Brazil lost the horrible match to Uruguay, I was a wee lad, tiny lad. I wasn't talking yet, apparently. My mom tells me I waited until I was 3 years old to speak. Can you imagine that? I see kids today at 9 months say words. At 2 years old, most kids are communicating sentences. Me, I was like, nope. Nope, not ready. So when I finally did open my 3-year-old mouth, it was like a vomit strain of complete thoughts, questions, ideas, arguments, complaints, suggestions. Can you imagine how annoying that must have been for my parents to have this kid like, is he going to talk? Is he okay? Oh, wait. Oh, great. He finally spoke. Oh, yeah, he's speaking. Oh, great. He's talking. Yay. Okay, great. Okay, dude, we get it. You can talk. But what I was doing before I was ready to tell the whole entire world everything I had been thinking in those 3 years, I was successfully throwing balls. Balls.
Cool. Thank you, Justin. That was great.
Yep. We'll be off to a commercial now.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen, and then get riding.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
Center for Ants!
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Visit citr.ca.
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least... 3 times bigger than this!
All right, so we're back with Justin on Alphabet Soup, CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. So I think we'll open it up to a bit of a discussion.
Sweet.
Yeah. So you're here to talk about your Play Balls, which is happening at the Fringe Festival in Vancouver in September.
Yeah, the Vancouver Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
Toronto.
Yeah. So,
do you know where Matthew comes from?
I come from Toronto.
Yeah.
So is this the first time that you, like, we know that you love sports, we know that you love arts. Is this the first time, like, arts and sports have, like, come together in any sort of, like, creative capacity for, like, everyone to see?
Yeah, definitely. And that's been the challenge is to... It's almost kind of, what's the word when things progress? It's evolved that way, you know. Like I set out to talk more about growing up, and this heterosexual, homosexual sort of identity crisis that some of us have when we're younger, and I think we all do. I think all men do, and I wanted to explore that a lot. And I think the sports plays a big component in that. There's a lot of things going on, and so it was sort of the natural progression as I've kind of had this relationship with sports on and off for my whole life, mostly on, but I've definitely had periods of rebellion against it, and I still have that, you know. There's still a lot that I want to explore, or that I find very interesting. So it's like I said, so it sort of evolved to this thing about the role of, I don't know, manhood in our society, and then sports. It's always been an important thing for me. So
you wanted to use sports as a way to talk about these other themes.
Yeah, well, I think I wanted to talk about the other themes, and then it just, I had to follow my own life, and it really was the first thing that made me feel okay, you know? Like, I was good at it at a young age, and so, it just was the natural, if I'm going to talk about these themes, then it sort of became a central focus. In this work. And, you know, I think the work, it's not completely and totally about sports. It does start that way and is very strong in that direction, but it definitely moves more over to the, I don't know, the other areas of balls, I guess.
The many-faceted ball.
Exactly. Here we go.
I guess first we should kind of clarify that was a theatrical piece. Like there were a lot of hand gestures, a lot of facial expressions. There's hesitations and kind of reiterations and circling back on itself. And, you know, that just can't be communicated really in a radio show. Like everything that you're going to get out of it on the stage.
Right.
So,
and yeah, for sure. I mean, there's still, you know, blocking. There's things that, you know, theater, the whole point of theater a lot of times is to, you know, at least for me, to bring words to life, and it's hard to sort of, and it's three-dimensional, so it is hard a bit to just do the vocal side of it, so yeah. And I think that, you know, there will be things happening on stage as well, and this is a bit of a rough draft, so it's good to just kind of like get it out there to you know, hear it.
Well, I can see myself like watching that in a dark room for an hour, so you're on the right track.
You're sweet.
There was also a really good description of an MFA right off the top of that, which was great. The MFA being the Master of Fine Arts, the fact that we're getting a degree in making stuff up and how well you can do it.
Right.
I wish we could steal that and put that at the front of our show.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, a lot of that too is, and I hit on that. It's like I feel like we, as writers in the different genres, poetry, fiction, not nonfiction, well, maybe in memoir, but that's kind of weird, but where you're trying to figure out how much of this you're going to be honest about and what you're going to take from your life and sort of composite into maybe a character or a situation. And I'm finding I'm having to do that with this show.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's not true. I want to do more of it in this show than what's in the current draft. But, whereas as a playwright or a screenwriter, it's so much easier because I'm not going to be performing this on front of the stage. And here it's like, it's harder to lie, you mm-hmm. know? So I'm almost kind of forcing myself to like, okay, let's make this up and go on this tangent for a while. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am right now in the process.
Do you think the script is going to change from show to show? Like, will there be some variations or?
No, it'll be pretty solidly typed. I mean, not typed, but set for sure. It's in a lot of ways. I did do a little bit of stand up back in New York a long time ago, and you would have to write your thing. That's what I learned in taking stand up classes, that you have to write your material, even though it gives you the license to sort of go off into whatever direction you want to go in, and then come back to it if, you know, you get off track or there's a time where what you're kind of riffing on makes sense to what you've written. It's always, it always acts as this sort of, this bed that you're working off of. Frame, I guess, is a better word for it. But for me, I think this, I really want to try to get it as scripted as possible, but I'm sure it'll change, you know, like, something doesn't work the first night, or I do it badly, or whatever, I'm going to definitely revise it. You know, I'm not going to stay stuck with something that's not working, you know? And a lot of times you just don't know until you're in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
Right?
Because usually there's like a whole group of people in a theater show, like the director and the stage manager and everybody working on it. But do you have a director? Do you have like another set of eyes? So that's even...
No, I don't. More. I mean, yeah, I just shook my head, no. But
yeah, sorry.
And I think, and I've been waffling on whether or not I want to. It's kind of complicated, but I think that a lot of times, you know, it's Fringe. So, and what Fringe really wants you to do is to be as risk-taking as possible. And I love collaborating with people. I've done it my whole career. But what happens when you do collaborate is that I don't want to find myself cutting things that for either expediency or I just don't want to find myself like, I don't want to, okay, this is a better way to explain it.
That was not expedient at all.
No, exactly. but that's the way I want it to be. So, no, I think that, I think it's just good that I get it out as purely as possible. And I think about a few weeks out, I'm going to have a presentation and get some feedback from it. And then hopefully, you know, that'll help. But I really do want to try to create this as purely as possible, because it is a Fringe and it's just, you know, it's a 60-minute piece. It's not, you know, a 3-hour epic or anything. And so.
Mm-hmm. I think we might go to commercial, actually.
Okay.
But we'll be back in a few seconds.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC and Kitsilano area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books and Sound, The Bike Kitchen, The Cove, Dentry's Pub, Displace Hashery, Limelight Video, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Bar and Grill, Lotus Land Tattoo, Nuba Kitsilano, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
Wow, it sure does pay to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus, or go online to www.citr.ca.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure.
Beautiful country.
You would have covered
that. No.
Yeah. But if there's anybody you don't want to see.
I rode out here about 50 years ago on a little dun horse and started a film career. Picture called The Big Trail. Well, I made quite a few since then. Some good, some bad. Matter of fact, in those days,
CITR!
Matter of fact, they come in pretty handy anytime. It's kind of nice to know you have something set aside. So if you ever figure on that, remember that
CITR
can be mighty helpful.
Yeah!
We're back.
Or you heard us talking the whole time. Sorry about that. Justin, as you heard, does not want to talk about who would see the play. But we'll just forget about that question.
Yeah, no,
that's not happening.
No, it's what? Yeah.
Why don't you tell us like what the fringe means to you? Because I feel like not everybody would know like what a...
Yeah, maybe not everyone knows what a fringe show is.
Yeah, like how is
yeah,
a fringe show different than the rest
of it? I wish I knew how many shows are going to be, but there are a lot. There are like 50 shows, and there a lot of touring. People do it in the summer. And the whole point of it is that they... I'm going to just butcher whatever the real history is, but... writing!
Yeah.
No,
you don't have to go into the history, but...
No, but it was... But the reason why it began is, you know, in reaction to sort of the legitimate theater, or even the non-legitimate theater, but theater that was being produced, and it gave people a venue who didn't have a lot of money, but had stuff to say, to kind of come together and be able to, like, express these crazy ideas that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was successful, and it's been successful for, you know, decades now. So, but it still hasn't really lost that. It's anybody can do a fringe show, you know, you just, especially in Vancouver, you put your name into a hat, basically a lottery, and, you do have to come up with some money to reserve your spot for sure. It's not, it's totally cheap, but, there's no curation or, you know, with fringe. So again, it's completely, it's lottery system. And so it really does, you know, you might as well go for big risks as big as possible, you know? And I think a lot of times we talk about, in the program or even, yeah, I think in the program, just like how, you know, just go for it. And, you know, if you fall flat on your face, it's going to be a great learning experience. And I feel like a lot of that is the spirit of the fringe. Just like, try it, go for it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. And the one person format, like the one person play, is that kind of particular to fringe? Like somebody, because it's like, it's cheaper to do, and like you can say whatever you want. It's just like one person kind of standing on the stage sort of riffing.
I think it gives, it's probably a percentage, like a 10-person thing. And I'm going to do it a lot different than somebody else who's got a very specific story to tell.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason why I'm doing this one-man show is I saw, and it's too bad that I don't remember who it was, but I saw a Hollywood Fringe show, one-man show, and this guy just told us this amazing story. And I was like, it's just such a great thing to move an audience of people, and we were all packed in there, and he's just like, it's such a power to be able to do that successfully, you know. And it's why I've always been drawn to theater. Like, if you're able to sort of move people in a room and you're like all following the story, it's this strange thing, especially as we're now more and more disconnected because of the digital world and whatever, you know, to have that potential to connect with a live audience is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, that's kind of, yeah. But I didn't really answer your question, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, that was perfect. What else did I have to ask on that? Somebody else take the floor.
Oh yeah. Do you want to tell us like when it's, what days it's playing and like what time?
Oh sure.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
it starts. Well, it's the best place to go is to go to the Facebook page I've created, which is facebook.com/ Justin Neal Balls.
Okay.
Or just search Balls for Justin Neal, and I'll have all the times. Also, go to vanfringe.com or vancouverfringe.com is what it is.
And it's playing early September.
September 4th through the 14th.
Okay, that's perfect.
And it's weird times. There's the Saturday night show at 10. There's like a Monday night show at 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's all at Studio 16, which is this really awesome venue. a little bit south of Granville Island. So, you know, it's great venue. I'm really excited for that.
I remember what my question was. Yes. Do you remember because Fringe all happens with this lottery, you had to write the description for this play, like,
right,
6 months out.
Yeah.
What was the description you wrote? What was, like, that beginning, like, seed that I guess you were supposed to turn into a play, like, 6 months later? Do you remember what those lines were, what you had to write?
Well, it'll be in the program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's very general. And, you know, they're actually, that's funny because the Fringe has been posting on their social media, like the proofs of the program and stuff. But we did turn that in April,
yeah,
for the most part. So I know it's,
I
know,
I,
no, I don't think I need to, but because it's very general.
Yeah.
And it really does talk about all the different ways it talks. Yeah. It's only like five sentences too. So I'm just going to wait on to answer that question because I want people to read it. And it'll be good for me because I think that the show isn't going to veer too far from what I kind of made up, you know, 5 months ago or 4 months ago. So, yeah, we good?
I think that's everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, that I would go and see that show. It's going to be really fun.
Everyone should go and see it for sure.
Yeah.
Please do.
Sweet. So this was Alphabet Soup signing out, and we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
Thanks. Bye.